broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Do we remember the steps to putting on a condom?
You open it, don't you?
I think Jon Stewart's a bigot. I think
Jon Stewart's a bigot. Hold on.
It was not our intention to have that happen.
I was absolutely convinced of it until after he said...
Jews are good with money.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome. 877-876-PHIL.
I was absolutely convinced of it until after he said...
Jews are good with money.
That's what I meant to do. Anyway, welcome to the program here, our final hour, news hour with Bud Dickman and what's your name again?
Well, you thought my name was
Robert Leonard. Sorry, Robert. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhendryshow.com, where you can find live streaming video and live streaming audio of the show. You've got to get your backstage pass to have the full experience of this here show. That's philhendryshow.com. Also, on our website today, a very interesting article written by Margaret Gray. Thank you, Margaret, for the blog entry entitled, CNN Fires Rick Sanchez for Saying Something Interesting. So you'll want to read that.
You didn't think it was interesting?
What are you asking me for? She wrote it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good point, though. The first thing the guy said, everybody cared about, and he got fired for it.
Well, we're going to talk about Rick Sanchez here in the next few minutes because it is a big media story, and Rick has been, he's a guy, we have people that we pay attention to in the show. We just have certain people that we just smother with attention. He's one of them, and Rick is a nice man, but one of the reasons why we paid attention to him is because, as we've often said on the show, Rick... God bless him. Rick is the kind of guy that they hire at CNN. He's a man who does an impression of a man with an opinion. He's a man who does an impression of a man with an opinion. He's like an actor playing a guy with an opinion. And I think that got him fired. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're not used to really giving an opinion, and then finally you're giving your opinion, it ain't coming out good, you know.
Yeah, all coming out all harsh and everything.
Exactly. He came out and said on this TV, or excuse me, this radio show, on the radio show, he was on Pete Dominic's show on Sirius Satellite, a lot of stuff. Now, let me just tell you one thing so you guys know. He didn't get fired because he insulted Jon Stewart. The first casualty, as they say, of news is truth. The first casualty of any news story is the truth. And the truth is, he didn't get canned because he offended Jon Stewart. That does it, you're fired.
Yeah, but Jon Stewart's pretty powerful.
Oh, he ain't that powerful. He's going to get Rick Sanchez fired. Jon Stewart's going to pick the phone up and call up the chairman of CNN and say, hey, I want this guy Sanchez. Every jackball wrote that because that grabs people's attention. That gets your attention. That got you, Mr. and Mrs. America, that got your attention. Rick Sanchez insulted Jon Stewart. He got fired. He got fired for that, but they write that in the headline because that's going to be a lot sexier than saying Rick Sanchez fired for saying stuff about Jews, which is decidedly ugly, and it may not be in the pea brain of the people that run these news sites. That may not be as attractive a headline as Rick Sanchez fired for insulting Jon Stewart. He didn't get fired for that. I'll tell you what he got fired for. I'm going to play it for you. It's the very last clip of the three that we have. I'm going to play these three clips, and then I will point out to you the clip that, in my opinion, got Rick Sanchez fired. And he was fired today. And they mention even in this asinine Yahoo story, he called out Jon Stewart as a bigot. And who cares? He mocked Jon Stewart and he complained. Now we start to get into it a little bit more, that Jews like Stewart don't face discrimination. He also suggested that CNN and perhaps the media industry more broadly is run by Jews and elitists who look down on Hispanics like himself. But they headed it with Jon Stewart was called a bigot. But that's not what got him canned. Sanchez has not spoken out about the explosive interview Thursday on Stand Up with Pete Dominic on the radio show. The now former CNN star didn't just make a single impolite statement or impolitic statement, but spoke at length for roughly 20 minutes about Stewart in a media world he believes to be filled with elite Northeast liberals that consider Hispanic journalists second tier. All of that may be true, but when he started calling out his bosses at CNN, Here is Rick Sanchez recounting an incident. Now, here is what I think is at the very crux of this thing. I think he was told by this guy. He said, well, not too long ago, I think this is what caused the whole thing. I think somebody recently said to Sanchez, I don't want you to be an anchor. I want you to be a reporter. And that's what pissed him off and got him rolling on this guy's show.
But deep down, when they look at a guy like me, they look at a, they see a guy automatically who belongs in the second tier and not the top tier.
Because you're a Cuban? American?
I had a guy who works here at CNN, who's a top brass, come to me one day and say, You know what? I don't want you anchoring anymore. I really don't see you as an anchor. I see you more as a reporter. I see you more as a John Quiñones. You know, the guy on ABC? That's what he told me. He told me he saw me as John Quiñones. Now, did he not realize that he was telling me, when I see you, I think of Hispanic reporters? Because in his mind, I can't be an anchor. An anchor's what you give the high-profile white guys, you know? So he knocks me down to that and compares me to that. And it happens all the time.
What about that other black, the black guy they have?
Yeah, what about him?
Well, on CNN, Don Lemon.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. What are you talking about, Rick? They got an anchor. Don Lemon is black. I don't know who's the guy that does morning, that guy that irritates me.
That guy Tony.
Tony, whatever the hell his name is. They got more anchors over there of color. Tony Harris. I can't stand him. Don Lemon's good, and there's a few other guys that are black. The greatest, in my opinion, the heir apparent to Walter Cronkite, you know, I don't know who that was? Bernard Shaw.
I don't know who that was.
No, you guys wouldn't know who that was because he was ahead of your time. Bernard Shaw was the CNN anchor. He was the face of CNN. He was African-American. He was fantastic. He had the voice of authority. He had the trust of the American people. He was Walter damn Cronkite. And that comes along once in a lifetime. CNN has never been able to find his equal. Never. Now, I think they came close, and then he blew it. I think they came close with Lou Dobbs. And then Lou decided that he was going to be a, you know, opinion maker. And he decided to be Mr. Independent, and he stopped being a journalist in the mold of a Bernard Shaw or a Walter Cronkite or whoever you want to call. And Lou began to do that show that he did, and now he's doing a radio show. And Lou, you know, Lou Dobbs to me was the next credible face of CNN. But they decided, forget it. That's what CNN had, see? They had for many, many years that guy, that face, that person that we would look at and say, oh, here's the guy, he knows, man. He is a reporter. So, like, when there was Cronkite, and then there was Bernard Shaw, and a lot of people look back on the days of maybe Max Robinson at ABC, and then you move past Bernard Shaw, and who have you got? Maybe, I don't know, maybe they could have turned Lou Dobbs into that guy, but that's something that CNN had, that Fox will never have, because Fox is more of an opinion machine as opposed to CNN. But CNN didn't do that because CNN got thrown off by Fox. CNN got their minds got messed with by Fox. They forgot who and what they were. They forgot what they did. And now they decided that they'd take a little page of Fox over here, and they'd take a little page of MSNBC over there, and they'll try and do some of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And the next thing you know, they ain't none of that. All right, here's cut number two now. Rick Sanchez takes on Comedy Central host Jon Stewart, implying that the host is a bigot for surrounding himself with other,
Jews.
Jews.
I think Jon Stewart's a bigot.
Jon Stewart's a bigot. Hold on. Now we're going to get into Jon Stewart, my old boss, my friend.
Yeah, I think he's a bigot.
How is he a bigot?
I think he looks at the world through his mom,
Jew
who
eyes.
Was a school teacher, and his dad, who Jew was eyes. A physicist or something like that. Great. I'm so happy that he grew up in a suburban, middle-class New Jersey home with everything that you could ever imagine.
What group is he bigoted towards?
Everybody else who's not like him. Look at his show. I mean, what does he surround himself with?
But listen, he picks on Jews all the time. He's a
mm-hmm.
Jew.
Yeah.
And another thing.
Jews are good with money.
All right. Now, here is, so that's all well and good. But here it is. Here's the killer. Here's the clincher. This is what sank this guy. This is why he got canned. Listen to this.
I just think it's important that people who are not minorities understand that those of us who are, and very few of us will say the things that I've just said, are actually more complex than they think
Stewart's,
we are, and we get
Stewart's
them.
A minority as much as you are.
He's come on. How
he's
is he
Jewish.
A minority? Yeah. Yeah.
Rick.
Very powerless people.
Whoa.
But, I mean, but you're but, such a minority. I mean, you know, please. What are you kidding?
He's You're telling me that
I'm telling you that everybody who runs CNN is a lot like Stewart. And a lot of people who run all the other networks are a lot like Stewart. And to imply that somehow they, the people in this country who are Jewish, are an oppressed minority? Yeah.
That's it right there.
Yeah, saying like Jews are not oppressed minority.
It wasn't so much that, you know, look. This is always very, and the longer we go in this country with our present generation, and we move on, and younger people are harder and harder pressed to understand what we're talking about. But the oppression of Jewish people is one that goes back thousands of years. That's number one. But for an educated broadcaster to say what Rick Sanchez said, I gotta say that was said out of anger. And it was said because they told him, you're not an anchor anymore. You're going to be a reporter. That's what that first cut meant, okay? See, I'm putting it all together for you here.
You're saying that guy came the other day and told him.
When Rick Sanchez said in that first cut, you know, this guy told me one time. Yeah, one time. That guy that probably happened this week.
Oh, you're saying that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I think he was pissed off about. I think they gave him the word, you know what, we're going to move you to reporting, man. And we're going to take you off that anchor desk, and we're going to move you to reporting. Now, you know, I said during the pre-show, I said if CNN was doing things the way they should do things and did things the way they ought to, they'd go back to reporting, man. They'd go back to doing what they did best, which is put people on the street with a camera, with a story, with a microphone. Let's go, baby. Let's find out where it's at. Let's go, you know. And if Rick Sanchez were a little more broad-minded, he might have been able to see that. I can't judge the guy. It probably would have pissed me off, too, because it probably meant a pay cut. It was going to mean a pay cut.
Yeah, man, I mean, you're going to get fired.
I don't know if that's going to mean you're going to get fired, but I'll tell you, if they take you off the anchor desk and they give you a pay cut eventually, or they fire you to be a reporter, you know, your future doesn't look good either way, because they can't keep paying you anchor money for reporting. And more often than not, they're going to come to you and say, do you want to do this? They're not probably going to believe that you do. They'll probably wind up canning your ass. So he's pissed. He goes out to do an interview pissed. He goes into this guy's studio pissed. The guy gets into it, and they start talking, and nothing official has happened. Nobody has officially said Rick Sanchez is not an anchor anymore. No one has officially said that Rick Sanchez is going to be a reporter. So it's just something that's been brewing in Rick Sanchez's mind, and he sits down behind this microphone. This Pete Dominic guy starts in with the questions, and out it comes. Sanchez saying, you know, these lousy, stinking, and then he just ended it with,
I heart Jews.
And then he, you know, that was it.
Yeah, He's going to be in big trouble, I'll tell you that.
No, he's just going to be out of a job. Not going to be in any big trouble. He's going to be out of a job. All right, so Rick Sanchez fired, and he hates Jews, and I don't know. But I will tell you that was about the stupidest thing I've ever heard. A man who calls himself a professional. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, man. Here's why it's stupid. Is it true? Well, let's ask ourselves, is it true? Is it a joke to consider Jewish people an oppressed minority? I personally don't. I know that some people would give me an argument. I don't. I think the people that would give me an argument might be people who would say, well, it used to be bad for Jews. I don't think it's that bad anymore. Well, you know, okay, fine. But I'm, you know, being a Roman Catholic Irish kid here and an American, when I ain't around Jewish folks and I'm just around a bunch of WASPs, I know how they talk. I know how they talk about black people. I know how they talk about Jews. So don't give me this bull crap about how it, you know, there's no attitude anymore, because there is. That's number one. But number two, whether or not he really believes that and whether or not it is in point of fact, a fact, he should never have uttered it publicly the way he did. Without knowing the consequences, he's got to be kidding if he thinks that he was going to get away with saying something like that. So I anticipate that Sanchez, unless he's completely stupid, is going to say whenever he breaks his silence on this, I knew that when I said that, I was dead. I knew it. I knew that when I said that, I was dead, but I had to say it because I really believe it. I will at least respect him that much. But if he says, wow, that's really hard. I'm going to tell you right now, man, the guy is brain dead. Just freaking brain dead.
Well, I don't know, man, but I'll tell you. He does more to make Mexicans look bad.
You know, what do you mean Mexicans? He's Cuban.
Yeah, but he does make them look stupid.
He's Cuban, and don't start in with me, okay? Pot possession in California will now be treated like a speeding ticket thanks to Arnold Schwarzenegger. We'll tell you what's going on in the world of weed with the Dr. Green Thumb Report. Check us out at philhenryshow.com, 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I hate Jews.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, we have the Dr. Green Thumb Report still ahead on our show here. Phil Hendry in our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And we have a marijuana decriminalization bill that was signed by Arnold Schwarzenegger that, I guess, is pretty big news. Possessing up to an ounce of weed in California is now no more serious than getting a speeding ticket, which would mean it's a misdemeanor, right? $100 fine, a maximum punishment of $100. It is now less. It's gone from a misdemeanor to an infraction. Even as a misdemeanor, possession of up to an ounce of weed was still punishable only by a $100 fine and no jail time. But offenders also faced arrest, a possible court appearance, and criminal record. A misdemeanor, you're going to get busted. An infraction, you get a ticket. And I was looking at some show the other day. Spousal abuse is an infraction, I guess, because they gave this guy a ticket.
No, are you talking about like when a Vegas cop show we seen?
Yeah.
That's for prostitution.
Well, I know they were giving tickets for prostitution.
Yeah, they give up a ticket to a man that got, allowed a prostitute. They ain't going to give no ticket to a man beat up a woman. You think they give a ticket to a man that?
You know what? You guys might be right.
Yeah, they can't do that, but they gave a ticket out of them guys who got it. The guy went prostitute.
Hold on, bud. God, you're slobbering on the microphone, okay?
I don't know if I'm close enough. On a prostitute.
I know they give out tickets
they're not giving a ticket to prostitute. They're not giving out a ticket to prostitute. They're giving a ticket to a man.
I know that. I misspoke. They're giving tickets to the guys that were attempting to buy the prostitute.
Prostitute was a cop.
Well, that, yes. The prostitute was a cop. It was a sting. Okay. Nonetheless, Schwarzenegger said after signing Senate Bill 1449, he does not support decriminalization of marijuana, but the law would save the state courts money. In this time of drastic budget cuts, prosecutors, defense attorneys, law enforcement, and the courts cannot afford to expend limited resources prosecuting a crime that carries the same punishment as a traffic ticket. He's absolutely right about that. The bill authored by San Francisco Democrat Senator Mark Leno was supported by the Judicial Council of California, the official policymaking body of the court system, and the California DA Association. California's major police associations all opposed the legislation. I don't know why the police would oppose that legislation when it basically means that you're going to free your officers. See, maybe they oppose it because they feel that kind of open, brazen marijuana use or open brazen drug use encourages some other kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to fine them and get the same kind of money.
Well, it's a $100 fine regardless. And the courts have said, however, they're cops, they're not DAs, they're not court people, so they know what they know. And they're on the street and they, the only way that weed's going to get legalized is if you get the police to sign off on it. That's the only way that weed ever gets legalized. The police have to sign off on it. That's the only way that's going to stick. Opponents said reducing possession to an infraction would discourage people cited for the offense from seeking state-funded drug treatment. Oh, come on, will you? It's marijuana. As provided for drug offenders under a... This is the possession of marijuana. This is something we've got to live with since 1936 because of some lying guy named Harry Anslinger and some report that wasn't true in the first place. So now we've got people still believing, that it's a gateway drug. The governor signed the pot law as state voters prepared to weigh in on a closely watched ballot measure to legalize marijuana for recreational use, a measure that Schwarzenegger opposes. Of course he does, because the police oppose it, and he ain't about to go against. And I can't say as I blame him. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Green Thumb ahead. What if Radar Online is reporting true? Will we see a sex tape of Tiger Woods?
Phil Hendry.
I hope not.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
It's the Dr. Green Thumb Report here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Florida man denies drugs found in buttocks. They're not his.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
When sheriff's deputies allegedly discovered a bag of marijuana and coke between a man's buttocks, they say he gave a quick explanation, saying that he had recently married the cocaine. I'm kidding. Manatee County deputies say Raymond Stanley Roberts told them, "The white stuff is not mine, but the weed is." Oh, okay. Deputies stopped the 25-year-old Wednesday. Good thing, too, because he, yeah. Anyway, deputies stopped the 25-year-old on Wednesday in Bradenton for speeding. Officers say they smelled marijuana and searched him. Then they smelled his ass and... No, I'm kidding. That's when they allegedly found a bag of marijuana between Roberts' buttocks cheeks. Officers then discovered another bag in there. The report says it contained 27 pieces of rock cocaine. The Bradenton Herald reports Roberts was arrested for drug possession and has bonded out of jail. The person who answered Friday at a telephone number listed for Roberts said it wasn't his.
I just like to say butt cheek.
Yeah, okay, Beavis. 10 pounds of marijuana found stashed in baby gift. Dateline Berrien County, Michigan. A Flint man was arrested on Monday after police say they stopped a vehicle with 10 pounds of marijuana hidden in a gift wrap box garnished with decorations for a baby girl. Rhoda Lake Township police say an officer stopped the vehicle around 8 a.m. weaving between lanes on I-94, not a good sign, near the D.C. Cook Nuclear Plant overpass in Lake Township. After stopping the vehicle, the officer noticed the car was a rental, and none of the three occupants were listed on the rental manifest, nor did they know how they got inside the car. A passenger, 29-year-old Leroy Conway, was in the front passenger seat, and his father was driving the vehicle. Another family member was in the back seat. After obtaining consent to search the vehicle, an officer found a gift wrap package in the trunk of the car, along with three large party balloons that read, "It's a girl" and "Little Princess." When the officer asked the passengers what was in the box, Conway stated that it was a gift for his daughter from his aunt in Illinois. Elmo, the department's canine, yay, was there and then led around the car and, quote, indicated, end quote. That's what they say when a dog smells, you know. Anyway, he indicated on the present in the trunk. The officer found marijuana inside the box, and Conway admitted it was his. The other family members of the car were not arrested. A cellular phone and $40 in cash was seized under the civil forfeiture statute. The car was impounded pending turning the vehicle over to the rental company. The marijuana has a street value of approximately $10,000. Conway was lodged in the Berrien County Jail on charges of possession of marijuana with the intent to deliver second offense. Loser. Yeah, it came from my aunt in Illinois. It's dope, yeah. Dad stashes pot in son's Elmo pack. A Western Pennsylvania father will spend 6 months in 6 months to 2 years in jail after pleading guilty to hiding the marijuana stash in his son's Elmo backpack, which the boy mistakenly took to school with the drugs still in it. How do these people have kids? Yeah, I'm telling you, man, after a while, you really do want to license people to have kids. You can't be that stupid, can you? You can? All right. 33-year-old Ronald Washington, a real idiot of Uniontown, pled guilty to endangering the welfare of children and marijuana possession charges on Thursday. A Fayette County judge will sentence Washington next week to the time specified in the plea agreement. Police say this idiot called the school where his son attended kindergarten in April and told officials he needed to get something. Yeah, uh-huh. From the Sesame Street-themed backpack. That prompted school officials to search the bag because the guy looks like some kind of a dope-smoking loser anyway, and they called police when they found more than 3 ounces of dope. I'm sure he calls them, "I need to get something." Search it. Well, you got a good reputation there, Dad. Texas mom busted after her four-year-old peddles marijuana by the brick. 22-year-old mother from South Texas is in jail after her neighbors reported that her four-year-old daughter was trying to sell a brick of weed. Maria Ipina of San Juan was charged with possession of a controlled substance after her arrest on Monday. San Juan Police Chief Juan Gonzalez told the Monitor of McAllen, McAllen's, that neighbors reported Ipina's daughter was going door-to-door on Saturday. It's unbelievable, Gonzalez told the paper. She was going door-to-door in the apartments and trying to sell the dope. Gonzalez said police went to Ipina's apartment and found more than 200 grams of cocaine packaged for sale, but no weed. Gonzalez says the girl and her six-month-old sibling were turned over to Ipina's mother. They got the little four-year-old is going, you want to buy some dope? Serious? Unbelievable, man. Marijuana soda. Medicinal users now have smoke-free option. Thirsty? Why not open an ice-cold bottle of pot-infused root beer? Oh, this is old, man. They've had this stuff for years. They're just now reporting it? Oh, Time Magazine, no wonder. A new line of pot-infused beverages masquerading behind soda flares are now available to patients with a prescription for medical marijuana. Now, stuff's been out over 2 years, jackass. Made by Colorado-based Dixie Elixir. Are you kidding? They got more companies making more pot-flavored soda and more pot-flavored... They got pot-flavored... What?
How do you know?
I know. Anyway, made by Colorado-based Dixie Elixirs, the carbonated drinks are marketed to medicinal marijuana patients who wish to avoid weed culture stigma. The organic drinks come in eight different flavors, including root beer, if you'll pardon the expression root, pink lemonade, or grape, and serve as alternatives to smoking the cannabis, which is legal for medicinal use by prescription in 14 states and used as an alternative to painkillers. No word yet on how much a case of drinkable marijuana will cost. Written by Allie. Where you been, Allie? They've had this stuff out for years. Years. And she's all of a sudden, oh, guess what? No word yet on how much it's going to cost. Every pot, and I don't use this stuff myself, but yes, I do know people who do. I do know people who have medicinal marijuana licenses and have doctor's prescriptions. They're not phony, okay? And I've seen suckers, man.
You're kidding me?
No, I've seen, you saw that one lollipop?
Yeah, they got lollipop, and they got root beer, and they got, like, brownie.
Well, brownies.
Everybody knows about the brownies that they have. By now, they had lollipops and stuff.
They got candy, man. They got cannabis candy. They have cannabis lollipops, cannabis drinks. I've seen root beer. I've seen cherry drink. I've seen all of it, yeah. And they have the pastries and all of that. I would, you know, I don't know if not a, like I said, I don't use it, but I wouldn't dig the pastries so much as maybe the what do you call it, the drinks.
Yeah, we got like a soda drink and two, or what do you got?
What do you mean? Yeah, they.
What did you just say, man?
I didn't understand them either. What'd you say?
Do they to the soda?
Do they two to the soda?
No, did they two.
Are you high or something?
I'm kidding.
Get out of here.
You're trying to pretend like you have a brain fart or something, man.
They've got all kinds of soda. They got... So they got it, all right? Never mind. All right, fine. The story that I loved in there was whoever sent the little kid going door to door. And then how about that father with the backpack? You know, it is amazing. It's the most important, perhaps the single most important thing you will ever do with your life if you have a kid. That's about as heavy as it gets. That's about as heavy as it gets. And it is a decision that is entered into by some people in the most trivial way. It is a decision entered into by some people in the worst possible way with the worst possible people. And it's the biggest decision a human being could make. I'm going to have a child. I'm going to raise a child. And we enter into that decision. And so, you know, who says we're not free, man? We're free to do that. That's the biggest decision you can make, and we're free to make that decision and to send out into the world a reprobate, some scumbag that we're going to have to deal with down the line by way of the police or penal system.
What do you mean penal?
Yeah.
The prison system. Will you clean up your mind? The prison system. All right, the next story here that we've been teasing, if you'll pardon the expression, and it's ever so important. The porn star who claims she was Tiger Woods' 15th mistress says she has a 62-minute sex tape with the golfer, and she sold it in a deal she expects will earn her millions, according to Radar Online in its exclusive reporting. That's right. Devin James' husband, Devin James is the porn star, her husband, Nick James, told Radar Online, "We made a deal with a DVD production company. We're going to sell the video online, and we get half the profits of all sales." All right, now, Nick, let me just ask you something. Who made this tape, man, and did you make it with Tiger's permission? Does Tiger know the tape exists? And did he know that you, Nick, would surface as a husband who was going to sell it?
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? Well, let me just ask you a question. Tiger Woods, and I don't know if the law in this area is something that I'm entirely familiar with, but Tiger Woods, doesn't he have something to say about whether or not people see him butt-ass naked in a movie with a porn star?
He could probably sue about how they're going to make money on him and everything.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Oh, yeah, well, but what if he gave him permission?
I can't, for $1 million, I can't imagine that Tiger Woods said, yeah, sure, go ahead, film me having sex with you, not a problem. And I damn sure can't believe in this or any other life, or on this or any other planet, that he said, yes, have your husband film us having sex, unless she's most recently married to this scumbag. I don't know. Adult film performer Devin James and her husband Nick flew from their Florida home to Los Angeles this week to meet with a major porn studio to discuss sale of the tape. But Nick says they got cold feet. They were scared of Tiger's lawyers. Ultimately, we found a different company, and they gave us $350,000 down with projected sales of $5 million total once it's out. Does this guy sound like he's tightly wrapped or what?
How does he know, man? He don't even have an idea what's going to happen legally.
Exactly. He's got all this money. He's already going ding, 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 ding. He's just counting it all up there, man, in the cash register. And I just, you know, I don't want to, you know, rain on your parade there, Mr. James, but there is one guy by the name of Woods, if you pardon that expression, who may have something to say about it.
You're talking about Wood.
Yeah, is that right?
Oh, man, pretty fast the uptake, man.
I understood. I just didn't say anything.
Oh, you didn't say anything to be classy.
Right.
Then you did say something. Why?
Because it was good timing.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Johnny Carson. Nick said the website will be launched in a couple of weeks, and it will first feature a teaser for the tape. This guy's really laying it out there, this Nick James. He's laying out all the bread. He's telling them how much they're going to make. He's telling them how much they got down. He's telling them how much they figure, and then he says how they're going to roll it out. If you pre-book buying the tape, you get it on November the 15th. Otherwise, it comes out for sale on the 20th. If you pre-book buying the tape, huh?
Should I pre-book it?
No, unless you want it. I have no interest in it. If you pre-book, all right, as RadarOnline.com revealed, James's real name is Melinda Jeanette, claims she secretly held onto the tape that includes 37 minutes of her and Tiger having sex. It's going to be the bomb, Devin told RadarOnline.com, but skeptics, including her own mother, Sandra Brinkling, have doubted whether it even exists. Boy, I'll tell you, I would go with Mom on this one. This guy running his big fat mouth. She's talking about what they're going to get, how much they're going to make, what's in the tape, what ain't in the tape, who, this, what, when. This guy's going to, he's got more money than God Almighty. He can hire the Prince of Darkness as his lawyer. He could hire Satan Incarnate as his lawyer. JC, maybe even.
No.
JC, man, that might have been a lot of money.
It really, do you think so?
Well.
Anyway, but skeptics, yeah, so they think she's full of crap. Brinlin, who is the mom, right? She's Sandra Brinlin, said, quote, "My daughter is nothing but a pathological liar. There was no relationship with Tiger Woods," end of quote. James claims she was 19 working on a Christian charity project in Hawaii when she decided that she'd have sex with 16 different rugby players from Fiji. And I'm kidding. It was at a Christian charity project in Hawaii when she first hooked up with Tiger. She later reconnected with the, if you'll pardon the expression, philandering golfer when she was working as a hooker. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll tell them career change.
Right. She just moved from, well, you know what, I was working for a charity, and now you're having sex for money. Yes, I am now having sex for money, but I may go back to the YMCA. She was later reconnected with a philandering golfer when she was working as a hooker and allegedly had a, quote, dirty, end quote, threesome, which earned her and another prostitute $2,000 each. James told RadarOnline.com she filmed the sex tape with Tiger in 2008. Radar Online has not seen the tape and cannot confirm if it exists at this time. When contacted by RadarOnline.com, the James attorney, Cal Affleck, not to be confused with his younger brother Ben, I'm kidding, there's no relation.
That'd be funny if there was.
There's no relation. Cal Affleck, that's his. Cal was. I hope you don't wear one of them big cowboy hats. Cal Affleck was unavailable for comment. Well, what do you guys think?
I don't know, man. That guy's talking about how much money they're going to make and when you can get the tape and how much money they paid down and all this. And he ain't even talking about getting sued. I mean, that sounds like a joke to me.
It does sound like a joke. It sounds like the cat's just pushing a really, really sort of quasi-funny joke. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our website, philhenryshow.com. Check out the website after the show. We'll have a complete show log of what the hell happened on our character hours tonight. We had some goofy, oh, man, some real goofy stuff. U.S. scientists intentionally inflict Guatemalans with syphilis. You believe this? And there's a connection to the Tuskegee experiments. We'll get into that on the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our podcasts as well. So I'm glad we're ending the show on a kind of a light note.
Yeah, that's great.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Time, man.
Who?
That I die.
Welcome back to the show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. What are you talking about, Robert?
This guy that's on TV now, not only South African or whatever, how come he got a guy getting a half-hour show?
This guy here? Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. What's he doing?
Hey, man, look at that, man. He's cooking up an omelet and all that.
I don't know who the guy is.
How come all them guys is from England?
That dude I don't think's from England. I think that guy is South African. Eggs. He says, go may eat. That guy?
Yeah, that guy. And then they put in a cheese and everything like that.
Yeah, well, what are you complaining about, man? Didn't you buy a bunch of those pans?
Yeah.
Are they good?
They are.
You must be in love with that guy.
That's what I think.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, you're sitting there all scoping out this cat. You bought a bunch of these stoneware pans.
I'm just wondering how the hell. Who is this guy?
I don't know, man, but, he must, why don't you start a fan club for him?
Yeah, you start a fan club for the guy. Get out of here.
All right, sit down. I don't know, man. Is it any good?
What?
That stoneware.
Yeah, I like it.
Looks pretty good. I don't know who the dude is, man. All these English guys now, man, that's what's going on now. Don't you know that? Ever since Billy Mays, God rest his soul, passed on, now they're sticking all these English guys in there.
How come? You think they're better or something?
I don't know. Americans like English guys. We like to listen to them spew their bullcrap.
Yeah, I guess a lot of bullcrap in an English accent don't sound so bad.
Exactly. They got that one guy, whatever the hell his name is, Billy always said, that guy.
Yeah, he thinks he's going to be Billy Mays. You better think about it another way.
You mean think again?
Yeah, man. God.
Yeah.
Yeah, think again. Okay. Anyway, I wanted to go into this story, and maybe it's good that we don't have a whole lot of time. It's a pretty sick, twisted, despicable thing that the United States government has had to apologize to the Guatemalan people and their government for a 1940s STD study that infected Guatemalans with syphilis. It has connections possibly to the Tuskegee experiments. It is the Guatemalans want to bring it before the United Nations as a crime against humanity, and they should. And we got to just suck on this one, folks. We just got to suck on this one. I don't give a damn. This is despicable. It was done at a time in the history of the world when there was a belief that there were certain people you could do things to. Now, as a matter of official U.S. government policy, no, it did not exist. It was an experiment that was condoned by the U.S. government at secret and very high levels, which makes it different from a policy of genocide. But nonetheless, it's a despicable thing, and the United States government and ultimately the American people need to answer for it. And I hope that we can, without sounding like a bunch of whining little bitches like we usually sound every time Sony says something. I'm not talking about, you know, us being cited for stuff we didn't do. I'm talking about when something actually happened in our history that we need to stand up and own. And what do I hear half the time? Well, I didn't know what it did. One of my people did it. I didn't own slaves. You know, we get screwed for a lot. People try to take advantage of us. I understand that. We're Americans. We get blamed for a lot of stuff we didn't do. I understand that. But when somebody points out something that we did do, let's just stand up and freaking own it for a change. Because this is low. And, you know, this is going to be dealt with in front of the UN. I don't want to see Ahmadinejad or any of them scum-sucking dogs taking advantage of it. However, you know.
But that guy that's got the stoneware.
Yeah, we'll put him in front. Get out of here. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Charles Wagon. And our associate producer screener was John Wyrick. And don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Sunday Night Phil at 6 with another 3 hours of great classic stuff on our website. Check it out.
Phil Hendry.